reading through the Bible can lead us to believe that God has a special fondness for those who tend herds of livestock. And sheep are mentioned more than any other animal in the Bible, over 500 times. Abel was a herdsman, and his offering is, Genesis tells us, more pleasing than that of his gardener brother, Cain. Jacob grew wealthy as a tender of flocks. Moses was out taking care of his father-in-law Jethro's sheep when he encountered the burning bush. David is a shepherd boy, anointed to be king. Jeremiah the prophet declared that God would appoint shepherds to lead spiritual renewal. The birth of Christ is announced to shepherds out in the field. Jesus uses this image of shepherds when he's teaching. He talks about a shepherd searching for the one lost sheep out of a flock of 100 to teach us about the kingdom of God. And last week we heard Jesus use this metaphor again, although he more specifically declared himself as the gate for the sheep. One of seven I am statements by Jesus that are helping us during this Lenten season to understand more about who Jesus is and who we are called to be in Christ. So today, as we continue reading in John 10, we hear this beloved image again of I am the Good Shepherd. For many of us, that image is likely to bring a warm feeling. We have these mental images of Jesus in a bright white robe with a blue sash, cuddling a little lamb. But in first century Palestine and Israel, that wasn't the reality. Shepherding wasn't a highly respected profession. Shepherds were often thought to be dirty and smelly and, well, a little dishonest sometimes. It was a hard job, sleeping on the ground night after night, by day keeping a herd of not very smart animals safe and protected. And most of the shepherds were hired hands. They weren't even the owners of the sheep. Being a shepherd was risky business, defending against predators and thieves, and often those hired hands would choose their own well-being over that of the flock. But despite this reputation, there were some good shepherds, those who were devoted to their sheep. They would talk to them and sing to them. They would anoint their fleece with oil to keep out the bugs and pests. Good shepherds provided nourishment and refreshment protection. They were so involved with their flocks that they knew each of the sheep by name. They were willing to risk their own comfort and even their lives for the sake of the sheep. This is the caring and sacrificial relationship that Jesus has in mind when he says, I am the Good Shepherd. Our Good Shepherd is a guide who can be completely trusted as we follow him. But, of course, if Jesus is the Good Shepherd, that makes us the sheep. Jesus' listeners would have had firsthand knowledge of sheep and shepherds and that relationship. For Jesus to describe himself as the shepherd of the sheep-like people was probably difficult for them to hear. And if I'm honest, I'm not sure I like being described as a sheep after a week of studying this passage and taking a deep dive into a search to learn more about sheep. I probably should have asked Michael or Ashley Croshison to deliver this part of the sermon, since they now own their own little flock of three lambs. But I'll give it a try. So first, it's important for us to know that sheep are biologically defenseless. They don't have any natural way to defend themselves, so they need a shepherd to protect them. Second, sheep often get themselves in trouble. Although sometimes sheep are stereotyped as dumb, they actually can be intelligent. Some testing has shown them to be as intelligent as monkeys or rodents, the things that we usually think of as smart. But the reason they often get in trouble is that they're followers. There was one report out of Eastern Turkey of 400 sheep who all fell 15 meters to their death off a cliff because they followed one sheep. It just kept following each other. The other reason that sheep get in trouble is because of their eyesight. They have excellent peripheral vision, so they can see very far on either side without turning their head. But it's hard for them to see what's directly in front of them. So sheep often stray off of the good path to get a better look at something, or because they're curious, they're easily sidetracked and lose their way, lose their focus. Does that sound familiar at all? It's difficult to admit our likeness to animals that so depend on a shepherd for survival, because we are much more accustomed to being people in control than sheep in need of leadership. Yet when it comes to our relationship with God, Jesus understands our human tendencies perhaps better than we understand them ourselves. When it comes to our faith, we are very much like sheep in need of a shepherd. Like sheep, we have the tendency to follow, sometimes to our detriment. Like sheep, we are endangered by those who prey on our vulnerability. Like sheep, we're perhaps most vulnerable to ourselves and our own tendency to wander away from the care of the shepherd and the safety of the flock. We certainly need a good shepherd, like Jesus, who's willing to care and sacrifice for us. Accepting that we are indeed a lot like sheep is the hardest part for many of us, because it's our human nature to want to be in control of our lives. But to be a follower of Christ, we must accept our spiritual likeness to sheep and our need for a good shepherd. To fully experience Christ, we must allow him to be the shepherd of our lives. We must learn to know and be known by the shepherd. If we look back to our passage from last week, Jesus says of the good shepherd of the sheep that the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Whenever he has gathered all of his sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run away because they don't know the stranger's voice. In part of my week-long learning about sheep, I watched video after video, because they were fascinating, of sheep ignoring people who were calling them. They would only respond to their shepherd's voice. Jesus says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." The relationship between Jesus and the disciples, our relationship with Jesus, is modeled after that between Jesus and the Father. It's a personal, intimate relationship. So what does it mean for us to know God? Well, knowing God begins with looking for and listening to God. I know that seems rather obvious, but we, like sheep, are easily distracted and lured into straying away. And if we want to stay securely in the fold, securely in the care of the shepherd, we must learn to know God, to recognize God's voice. So how do we do this? The first step is to realize there isn't just one way. I love the way that Meredith Mills describes this. She says, "Hearing God's voice, then, is less like a treasure hunt where you have to follow a map precisely, taking the one right route to find the one hidden treasure. It's more like an Easter egg hunt where lots of eggs are out there and you find them all around." God sometimes speaks to us when we wait silently. And it's vitally important for us to devote time every day to listening to God, to prayer, And by that, I don't mean just talking to God, but talking with God and listening to God. How we do this, though, is shaped by the way that God created us. You may start your morning with Bible reading and prayer, or you may be a night owl whose best time with God is late in the evening. For some of us, driving alone in our cars with the radio off, no destination in mind, is our best prayer time. For some of us, contemplative prayer, sitting in silence and listening, may be the time that we hear God most clearly. Some of us hear God in music. Others sense God in the pounding of our feet on the pavement as we run. And for others, God is most present when we're surrounded by trees and birdsong. The trusted voices of friends and family and mentors may also teach us to know God's voice better. Ideally, however it is that we most clearly sense God's presence with us, we begin to do that throughout the day, as we do chores, when we lie down, and when we wake up, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And along with prayer, with listening directly for God's voice, God gives us other ways of knowing our Good Shepherd. When we study Scripture, when we read the Bible, we learn more about what God is like, so that we can distinguish God's voice from the others who might be calling us in what seems like an appealing but is ultimately unsatisfying direction. And God also places us in a flock, like sheep, with other sheep. Because we, like sheep, like God, the Trinity, are made for community. And when we fail to connect with others, not just in worship, but in Bible study and in service, in doing life together, having fun together, we may miss the shepherd's call and not have others to remind us to listen, to follow along with them. Our shepherd wants nothing more than for all people to be in close relationship with God, to believe that we're beloved children of God, created in God's image, and to love others with the love that God has shown us. The shepherd's calling. The question is whether we are listening.